as we turn to your word. Your Holy Spirit will direct our thoughts, that we might be reassured of your love for us and the peace that you give us through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I think the passage read to us by Richard from Romans, for me anyway, and I'm sure for many of you, is one of the most wonderful passages in those short verses that we have in the Bible. It gives us assurance of our position before God because of the work of our Saviour Jesus Christ. They are perhaps verses that we should know by heart and we should read over and over again. And by the time I finish this sermon, you will have heard them read several times. Can I suggest that you might like to turn, in fact, page 1132 in the Bibles and have these verses before you. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And going on to verse 6, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, and I might say in several translations, rather than sinners, it says enemies, and I'd like to emphasize it as enemies. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. Now, I'm sure all of us at the moment are very concerned about the situation in the war, in the world, with so many wars and conflicts going on. Julia reminded me at the beginning of the service that in fact we're looking forward today that a peace agreement might actually be concluded between America and Iran. Perhaps it's the wrong way to put it, but I think we keep our fingers crossed just at the moment about that. The trouble is, at the moment, so many wars and conflicts are going on that I sometimes think in our hearts, we think, will the world ever be at peace? And perhaps, along with me, you wonder, do some of the leaders of the world really want peace today? And also, perhaps some of you, again, like me, wonder, is God going to answer our prayers? Because I guess that all of you, along with Christians throughout the world, have been praying for peace for a long time. And we long that God would just intervene, sovereign God, and bring, knock some heads together and bring about peace. It might seem a pretty hopeless situation. Are we ever, in fact, going to see peace? Well, actually, this morning, I got some good news. There is peace. And this peace is not to do with the wars going on in the world today. It's a much more important peace. I'm talking about peace with God. Peace with God. What could be more important than that we should have peace with God? Paul, in his letter to the church at Rome, is very clear about our relationship with God. In fact, Paul, and those of you who read Paul's writing to realize, Paul is very blunt and comes to the point more often than not. He points out that all of us, no matter matter how good we might think we are, no matter how good we might claim to be, he says quite bluntly, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, none of us actually, on our own, reach up to God's high standards. And the consequence of this is fairly dire. One day, we will have to come before God, and he will justly and impartially judge all of us according to the way we have behaved and all those hidden secrets that nobody else knows about are going to be revealed. Well, if that sends a shiver down your spine, it actually should do. Because the Bible is quite clear. The penalty of our sins is death. And that means actually eternal separation from God and separation from God's love. And Paul also points out that no matter how good we try, we actually, by our own behavior, cannot put things right. Well, if I was just to step down at this point, I think you must admit I've given you a pretty hopeless sort of situation to think about. But then we come to these wonderful words. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how then has this come about? Well, it's outlined for us really in verse 6. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Actually, that includes me. And I think most of you would admit that includes you. Christ died for me. Christ died for you. You see, in order for us to have peace with God, what we have done wrong has to be put right. Our sinfulness has to be replaced by righteousness. And this is exactly what Jesus did when he died on the cross. And he died on the cross for us. We read in the Bible these words, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And again in the Bible it says, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Quite clearly, the consequence of our undoing is damnation. This means instead of enjoying a loving relationship with God, we are condemned to eternal separation from him. And Paul's put it fairly bluntly. We are condemned, in fact, to an eternity in hell. And quite honestly, people today don't like talking about hell. I still believe that there is a heaven and a hell. And that hell is separation from God, all God's goodness, all God's love. So this is the penalty for our wrongdoings. And like all wrongdoings, there has to be punishment, and the punishment has to be paid in one way or another if we are to be forgiven, if we are to be restored, and if we are to have peace with God. Now, I've just said to you, this penalty actually is paid for us by Jesus dying on the cross. for a moment think how costly this is, was, if you like, for our Father God. He gave his only Son, Jesus, to die so cruelly on a cross for the whole world, even though we don't deserve it. Even though many, many people today will just throw back in God's face what God offers to them. This is the cost of God putting right the wrong that is in us. This is the cost of us having peace with God. This is clearly put to us in verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. And if you think about it, this is really an incredible statement. And the full understanding really comes from reading the previous verse. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. One thing that helps me understand this verse is the life of my grandfather. I never knew him, and I'm very proud of him. He was a soldier. And he gave his life in the First World War. During the Battle of Givenchy in France in March 1915, as Company Sergeant Major of the King's Liverpool Regiment, he was involved in close fighting with the German army, who were only yards away from them. The distance between the two forces was only 10 yards. And that distance was covered by barbed wire. Some of his men had gone forward and were entangled in the wire and were being machine gunned. He went forward, attempting to cut the wire in order that some of those wounded could be relieved from the position they were in. But in doing so, he himself was badly wounded and died of his wounds the following August. In recognition of his bravery, he was awarded the Distinguished Conduct Medal, and the citation reads, "For conspicuous gallantry during the attack at Givenchy on the 10th of March 1915, in endeavouring to cut the wires 10 yards from enemy's trenches, and for attempting to bring up more men after the front line had all been killed or wounded." Yes, you can see for me, it's very, 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 very moving. It was a very brave act, what he did, in seeking to help his fellow soldiers. But I doubt it, I'm sure of it, he would not have done the same thing to rescue a German soldier, if a German soldier had been entangled in that wire. Actually, I don't know this for sure, but probably he would have been court-martialed if he'd been if he'd even tried to do such a thing. This is something I read about when I read that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. Because Christ did exactly what my grandfather wouldn't have done. Christ died for somebody who only wanted to kill him, who was his enemy. And that's how much God loves us. He allowed his Son to die in our place. And it is through Jesus that we have now peace with God. Let me read those verses again to you. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. How will we respond to what God has done for us through Christ? Is actually outlined for us very clearly in Peter's article in the newsletter, and I do recommend that you read it.
The first reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
The second reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 9, from verse 35 to chapter 10, verse 8, and it can be found on the Pew Bibles on page 974. Is also on the screen. The workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go out among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give."